Hey, you're live. What's up, everyone? Aaron Negler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on the YouTube channel for some Packers Daily Chat. It is July 20th. July 20th. Where is the summer going? Hold on a second. Why are you doing this? That's not the way. Good to see everybody in the comments section. Good to see Big B already yelling about Jamal Williams. Joy the Jaguars here, of course. Robin, good morning. Tom, how are you? Oh, so happy these shows are at 10 a.m. now. I have never been able to watch live, and now it's part of my morning routine. Well, I'm glad you make it part of your morning routine. Thanks for joining us, Tom. Very, very nice of you. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Cheesehead TV, man. We talk Packers each and every single day. 10 a.m. Packers Daily Chat. Anytime news breaks, anything going on regarding, around the Packers, we'll be talking about it for you. Morning from the motherland. Wisconsin sports fan, how are you? Oh, quick programming note. There is no trivia today. There will be no trivia this afternoon. We have a very busy, important day at LiveX. So no producers to spare. So there will be no trivia this afternoon. But we will be back tomorrow. 3 p.m. here in Scotland. What's up, Robin? Worldwide, man. When we say worldwide, we mean worldwide. Alex, why does Rodgers throw the ball away so much more than every other QB? Well, because he's smart. I mean, that's pretty much what it boils down to. And that is one of the reasons he has such a low touchdown interception ratio and why he has such a propensity for not turning the ball over, because he doesn't force things. He doesn't throw up 50-50. He doesn't do things that put the team and the ball in jeopardy. Now, can it be frustrating to watch at times? Yeah, no question about it. I'm as guilty as anybody. You guys have seen the live streams. You've seen the watch parties. I get very upset sometimes when he does it. But when you step back and look at it from a 30,000-foot view, he's playing smart football. He knows there's another down to play, usually, or there will be another opportunity eventually for him to make a play. And rather than put the ball in jeopardy, a la Mr. Brett Favre, he eats it and lives to play another down. And like I said, it can be frustrating to watch, but it's smart football. Finally made it. What's up, Lambo Pac-Man? How are you doing? Daniel, what a question. Which Packers player would you most want to be quarantined with? Oh, man. Good question. Kenny Clark, because he has got a baller chef. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if you guys follow him on Instagram, but he's always posting just the best-looking meals. So, yeah, give me Kenny. Dustin, thanks for the super chat. I'm only reading this because it's a super chat. Rodgers and Danica Dunn, does that mean huge season? Who cares? Who cares? I don't know. I don't care. It's his personal life. Doesn't mean anything. Nathan, I need a rock report in a bad way. Thank you for the super chat, and I hear you, man. We're so close. We're so close. Unless, of course, the NFL screws this up, which, hey, don't put it past them. I know you guys are most of you are on social media. You're probably privy to the back and forth this weekend when the NFL sent out the memo to teams on Saturday saying report dates are on, you know, training camp starts this week for rookies on the 21st and quarterbacks later in the week along with injured players. And then the 28th is the report date for everybody. And then, of course, on Sunday, the players responded with a coordinated tweet storm, if you will, saying that the NFL is not following the recommendation of their own medical people, et cetera. Now, of course, all of this is about the ongoing negotiations about starting the league in the middle of a pandemic. And I know there's been there's a large sentiment out there, a growing vocal sentiment that what has the NFL been doing for the last 3 months? You know, they've wasted all this time, blah, blah, blah. Now they're scrambling. They're not scrambling. They're negotiating. And they've been negotiating with the players union off and on since March. With, you know, in a very real day-to-day way in the last month or so. We are now privy to the back and forth because it's getting close to, you know, put up or shut up time, but it all comes down to the preseason games, and the NFL, the owners want to keep at least one preseason game. They would love to have two, but I don't think that's going to happen. But in the latest proposal reported this morning from NFL Network and Pro Football Talk, the league, the owners have posited that they will be satisfied with one preseason game. It would be the third preseason game. And players don't want any preseason games because for the players, it flies in the face of the medical, which says, if you look back at their history from the lockout, the way injuries went up sharply, especially soft tissue ones, after having no activity on the field all that offseason, they don't want to repeat of that. B, they want to be able to have a semblance of some kind of ramp-up period where their bodies start to do conditioning stuff, football stuff, and then work onto the field in a padless environment and then work into pads. It'd probably be a couple weeks of conditioning, 10 days of no pads, 10 days of pads, and then play your season. That's what the players want. Now, of course, the owners want, they want to keep as many preseason games as possible. And I've heard people say, well, fans are going to be at these games, so there's not any revenue, which is completely wrong because they still get those local broadcast rights. They still get to put up ads, both in the stadium and on online, on the air, etc. There's still a bunch of money to be made. And they also want to do that because they want to mitigate the losses that are going to be seen next year in the salary cap. So that's where the owners are coming from. And I understand it's frustrating, and I understand you see the back and forth and you think just play the game or just report for camp, blah, blah, blah. But the players have a very real concern. You know, I think wanting every protocol put in place and not wanting to play unnecessary games that put strain on the body that is certainly won't be ready, that interrupts the ramp up period. I think that's a valid concern. So we'll see how this week unfolds. I suspect they'll come to an agreement sometime later in the week, but we'll see how it shakes out. James Ferguson, thank you for the super chat. NFL channeling Baldwin a la Glengarry Glenn Ross. They all here? Fuck it, I'm going anyway. God, I love that scene. And I love that Mamet wrote it specifically for Alec Baldwin because in the play, that scene doesn't exist. That happens. They reference it, having happened earlier in the timeline of the play, but it isn't in the play. He wrote it specifically for the movie, and Alec Baldwin is fucking genius in that scene. You know what it takes to sell real estate? It takes brass balls to sell real estate. God, I love that movie. Coffee is for closers only. Which decade was better, the 70s or 80s? Oh, which decade had the better teams, the 70s or 80s? Yeah, they were both hard to watch. I'll go with the 80s, though, because they had Dickey and Lofton and Kaufman and Eddie the Ivory, and they were a ton of fun to watch. Is Lindsley definitely gone after this season? He's been an incredible contributor. Robin, I very much agree with that second sentiment. Most likely. Unless he took a massive hometown discount, which I guess you can't completely dismiss that idea, but I'd be very surprised. But yeah, when they draft three linemen, especially a bunch with experience along the interior, you have to think it's setting up for his eventual departure, which is sad. I love Corey. You guys know we're friends of his here at Cheesehead TV, but I would suspect they would let him hit the market. Now, maybe he hits the market and doesn't find anything he likes and they welcome him back at a discounted rate. That's totally possible. But I suspect he'll hit the market and get paid big bucks for his final third contract, so to speak. Matt, this is just another CBA in a sense with a much shorter time frame. We've only known about COVID for 6 months. Lockout? Oh, there won't be a lockout. It'll get contentious, but there's too much money at stake, especially if they locked them out, they're not going to make any money because there's not going to be any games and those broadcast rights are going to go up in smoke. That's not going to happen. Who is the dirtiest Packers player? We never seem to have guys like Perfect. Well, there's a reason for that. Ted Thompson and now Brian Gutekunst following his lead. You know, they are very thorough about checking not only how guys play, but how guys are in the locker room, their demeanor, their type, so to speak. And yeah, they very specifically don't want players like that, you know, and it can be frustrating sometimes because I think, as we've talked about here over the years, you know, you would like a little bit more nastiness sometimes on defense. And sometimes it takes a guy like that to instill it. But, you know, the danger is always somebody like Charles Martin comes along, you know, who's back in the day. Packers had tons of dirty players under Forrest Gregg, and it was ugly and hard to watch. So do undrafted free agents have a chance to make this roster? Alex, the odds are growing longer. There's no doubt about that. The less on-field time that these guys get, including, you know, the elimination of preseason games. And that's what the one of the reports this morning was talking about, how a lot of the undrafted guys, a lot of the lower round rookies, they want that preseason game. They need to get on the field and put those reps on tape, you know? So I think the odds are getting longer. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. I used to bullseye womp rats at my T16 back home. They're not much bigger than 2 meters. I can't help it. It's like it's in my blood. I just say a word and like the Star Wars quote comes. I'm sorry. I can't help it. It just happens. Making sure I didn't miss any super chats. Nathan just gave me one. Nathan, thanks for the super chat. Went to a preseason game last year and it was fun because it was LaFleur's first game and also first strobe lights. I only see one preseason game in 2020. Yeah, I think there's a good chance. Yeah, the lights were a bit controversial online. Some people saying they didn't like them. Some people saying they liked them, etc. When you're there, it's cool. Like when you're in the stadium, it's very cool. But I can see how it's annoying on television. But that said, I think it's fun. God forbid we have some fun. With San Francisco and Seattle being very similar, it's odd the Packers have played better against Seattle over the years, despite the fact that Seattle has the better quarterback than San Francisco. Yeah, there's something to that, Bryson. I think a big part of it, though, is, you know, San Francisco, as of late, has a ton of really good talent up front on both sides of the ball, which has allowed them to control the game, especially last year. You saw that. So, yeah, I think there's no question that Russell Wilson is leaps and bounds better than Jimmy G. But, you know, they still have a boatload of talent there in San Francisco. So, you know, and they're similar in the sense that they're run-first teams that have good defenses. But at the same time, Shanahan is a brilliant play caller and game designer, offensive designer of plays. Whereas, you know, Seattle's got Schottenheimer, run, pass, until the cows come home. Or until you're behind and you have to let just Russell Wilson make some magic happen. Nathan, thanks again for the super chat. Who is the dirtiest Packers player ever in terms of cleanliness? Clearly not Devontae. I don't even know what to do with that question. I don't know, man. I ain't looking at their shower shoes. There's fungus on your shower shoes. See, not just Star Wars. Sometimes I can go right into Bull Durham. I don't, you see, could be a movie quote from any movie, any genre at all times, but I have no idea. You'd have to ask a player. Butler or Woodson? Oh, just ask me to choose between my children. I got to go Butler, though. All-time Packer. Invented the Lambeau Leap. First 2020 ever in the history of the league. Woodson's the man. Love him to death, but give me Butler every time. Do you think LaFleur can properly scheme Sternberger so we can attack the middle of the field? Yeah, I think he can scheme it till the cows come home. Will 12 throw it? That's the only question. There are guys open in the middle of the field. Like, that happens. You can look at the tape. Will Aaron throw the ball? He is the one avoiding the middle of the field, not LaFleur, not the play design. Comes down to 12. Now, I hope he does, because I think Sternberger can be a legit weapon. But we'll see. Wash your butt. Yeah, exactly. Big B. Nagler. Why? Because I said so. That's why. I have no idea what you're talking about, but I just had to give you a response. Is the LaFleur system easy to learn? I mean, it's a football system. You know, they're all the learning, quote unquote. A lot of that is already done once you reach the professional level. I mean, you know what routes are, you know what blocking schemes are, etc. You know, it's just a version of stuff you already know as a player. It's wordy, so for the quarterback, that can be difficult. And you know, as far as the nomenclature in the huddle, getting the call, remembering what that means and lining up, that's kind of second nature to guys, you know? Yes, you see guys mess up sometimes. The quarterback has to go, no, you're over here, et cetera. That happens. That's human nature, right? But it's no more difficult than, say, the West Coast offense that they were coming out of with McCarthy, you know, going back to the days of Bill Walsh. I mean, that was a complicated offense. But, you know, guys, that's just football now. So I think a lot of it's like reading algebra for somebody who really knows math, you know? Not a problem. Where does Nagler go to keep up the player progress and highlights of training camp players' battles? Where does Nagler go to? Well, when back in the day, I used to just kind of incessantly refresh the Journal Sentinel website. I remember when I first moved to New York, you know, McGinn and Silverstein and those guys would have their daily training camp reports, and I would devour that shit. And now I'm just there. So, and I'll be there in a couple weeks. Now, they got to obviously put together a schedule, or at least they've probably put it together. They have to release a schedule. I suspect I won't be there right away because, as we were talking about earlier, they'll be having lots of conditioning and acclimation periods early on. So I probably won't go until there are, if not, you know, practices on the field, probably wait until the pads come on. So probably at the end, towards the end of camp, which will be mid-August most likely. But we'll see. But regardless, Cheesehead TV will have everything each and every day. No matter what happens at camp, we'll have it covered for you. Don't worry about that. How good can Christian Kirksey be when healthy? Pro Bowl or more of a solid piece in the middle? Oh, Daniel, I think he could be a Pro Bowl player if he comes back healthy. Now, that's a monster if, obviously. But, yeah, he's got all the tools. He's absolutely sideline to sideline. Knows for the football. Knows when to freelance. Yeah, man, he could be a Pro Bowler easily. That's a question of, can he produce and stay healthy? We'll see. Favorite AJ Hawk play? I don't know. Whatever the one was, the sack where he came on a dog blitz and afterwards he flipped off the side, his own sideline. That was hilarious. Favorite inside linebacker since Barnett? You know, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. I haven't really ranked them. They've all been kind of pedestrian, right? No, I'm kidding. Probably Desmond Bishop. People forget, man, he saved that Philly playoff game when he tripped up DeSean Jackson on that big play. People forget that would have been disaster. But yeah, just overall, probably Desmond Bishop. Did he lose his helmet on that play? Danny, I think so, if I remember right. I literally just saw it a couple days ago, and I was laughing my ass off because I had remembered that he flipped off the sideline, but I forgot it came after a sack. It was just great. Oh, George, no trivia today. Sorry, I announced it at the start of the stream, but there's no trivia today. We'll be back tomorrow. Busy day at LiveX. Recovered Super Bowl fumble as well. That's right. Desmond Bishop was the man. I miss him. I miss his physicality. How many carries do I project Dylan to get? That's a good question. Man, I don't know. I don't think I would guess around 5 or 6 a game to start. That's total guesswork on my part, obviously. I mean, who knows? Injuries could really spell the outcome there. But, yeah, I don't know. That's tough. I mean, and 5 and 6 feels like a lot. So we'll see. Yeah, fish. Bishop is a legend. Love that man. I totally agree. More free agents when quarterback won on a rookie contract. Yeah, there's a possibility that, you know, there's an uptick in spending, so to speak. I don't think you'll see many off seasons like we did last year. I think that was a pretty significant reset for Gutekunst. But I do think, yeah, you'll see a few more ventures into the free agent pool, so to speak. No doubt. Man, Perry's still delayed. No, this isn't on Perry. This is LiveX. We've got a ton going on, and we just don't have any producers to spare. But like I said, we'll be back tomorrow for trivia. Do you think Runyon will start at right guard at some point this season? I think he's got probably has the ability to. I think it's probably a long shot. It'll be interesting to see if he's given a chance to compete for the spot in camp. And that's – sorry, guys. To me, the one thing I'm really anxious about is to see – where these guys start falling on the pecking order once we do get to camp and seeing how many opportunities these young guys are given the circumstances that they're going to be entering into. All right, everybody, I have to go. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much for joining me. Please do me a favor, hit like on this video, hit subscribe on the channel, and tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. I'll be back tomorrow morning, unless there's breaking news later today, and I'll be back here on the channel to talk about it. In the meantime, check out cheeseheadtv.com for all the latest on the green and gold. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack, go.